A lot going on in our world. I mean, so many things going on from overseas, Middle East, and stuff going on here in the States. We've got the election coming up. It's always good to catch up with Senator Richard Blumenthal here on Brian and Company. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Brian.
I'm gonna make it visitor the guest choice this morning. We could do Safe Bet Act. We could do even an update with the Online Safety Act. We could do the investigations into the assassination attempts on the former president. We could do spending bills. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, let me give you a quick update on the Kids Online Safety Act, which is that it passed the Senate 91 to 3, overwhelming bipartisan majority. This is a measure, as you know, to provide tools to parents as well as young people take back their online lives and disconnect from the algorithms that were driving content at them and hold the social media companies to a duty of care so they have some accountability. And we're now hopeful about the House of Representatives has to pass both houses, obviously. The main committee, Energy and Commerce, passed it by a voice vote just a few days ago. So I'm very hopeful that by the end of the year, Kids Online Safety Act will pass the Congress and go to the president's desk.
Does it have enough flexibility to, because we don't know what technology is going to change and adapt to. Does it have the ability to change with the times, or is this something that's going to have to be updated over the years?
It has tremendous flexibility, and that point is a very, very important one, because obviously technology is changing so rapidly with artificial intelligence. But the duty of care is essentially that the social media companies themselves have a burden to stop driving toxic content about bullying, eating disorders, self-harm, and other content that they know is harming young people. So it's a flexible duty of care that can be adapted by the companies and the courts. And most important, those tools that parents need and kids themselves want can be adapted with new technology. You know, I had a forum at one of the elementary schools in New Haven just Friday with the governor. And what struck me is how articulate and forceful young people are themselves in saying, you know, this social media thing is causing us to suffer. We can't stop it. It's almost addictive. It takes us away from our classes, from social interaction in person with other young people. Just very insightful about their own desire to kind of cut the addictive connection to social media. So I think it's flexible and it can be adapted.
I have these conversations with my nieces. You know, they're starting to peel back the phones in the schools, and they're like, well, what about if they have a change in my schedule and my coach needs to meet with me? Well, we used to do bulletin boards and find someone in the hallway, you know, figure it out. I mean, I love the fact that we kind of have this desire to roll back a little bit, you know, especially in our hallways and our classrooms. You know, the Safe Bet Act, I was going to just ask you to explain it to people who don't know about it, but I want to lead you to the question that I'm concerned about. And, the focus is on sports betting. And the one thing I want to say is that sports betting is based on events, and the events have, you know, beginning and end points. It's the casino stuff that I think is the most dangerous, actually, because you can play 24/7, 7 days a week. Talk about this piece of legislation and if it addresses stuff like the stuff that I just spoke my concerns about.
Essentially, it does, although it pertains primarily to sports betting, and it's called the Safe Bet Act. It essentially would forbid the gambling industry from targeting people who have problems. You know, it's really that simple. Right now, they do enticements, ads, promotions that are devised individually. They are framed for individuals, which they can do because of artificial intelligence and because they can monitor what you are doing minute by minute, whether you're winning or losing. Obviously, they target the losers. That's where the money is. And they are less interested in people who are winning and taking money from them. So the Safe Bet Act essentially forbids that kind of targeting through the use of artificial intelligence. And also forces standards on affordability. In other words, fewer than 5 deposits over a 24-hour period. People are in over their heads, and all of us probably know someone who became addicted to gambling. It is addictive, and the debts can force people to literally ruin lives, marriages, families, and also potentially even lead to suicide.
Yeah, you know, I'm projecting my own views, but I encourage you to think about it in a more expansive way, because I think the casino stuff is equally, if not more, dangerous. We're talking with Senator Richard Blumenthal here on Brian & Company. You know, the spending bill stuff, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought that, you know, you make a budget and then you go through the year and you spend your money and then you make another budget. I mean, this stuff is starting to, you know, it's so annoying that so much. I mean, at least, you know, people can criticize you, Senator, but you're putting forth legislation that's trying to move things forward, whereas the spending bills, it's just running in place. You know, we're going to maybe extend it till December 20th, so we're going to have a fight over this before the, you know, right around the holidays. Why are we going to ever return to the normal way to sort of budget and go through this process?
I think we can. You know, I'm on the Armed Services Committee, and every year we do the military budget. It's bipartisan. The vote out of committee is always almost unanimous. I have amendments. I'm trying to move submarine production forward, the F-35s, the helicopters. We all have individual interests and causes. Overall, the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, is approved before the end of the year almost routinely. So there's no reason we can't do that with the budget as a whole if we have the will to do it. And I am hoping, Brian, that once this election is over and maybe the kind of partisan fever is broken, that we can come together. I spend every day trying to do bipartisan things. This Kids Online Safety Act is bipartisan. 91-3 it was approved. I am doing it with Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee. We may disagree about a lot of things, but we ought to agree about getting that measure passed and also the budget and returning to the regular order.
Senator Richard Blumenthal here on Brian & Company. I don't really know how to approach the Israel question. You know, it's like you got 2 minutes. How do I, you know, they haven't been able to solve this in, you know, millennia. So, but it's getting worse, and it's, you know, Israel's in a tough spot, and there's obviously, you know, humanitarian elements and civilian casualties. And I mean, I think it's a little more linear actually to the north than it is in Gaza. But I mean, what's your view on this right now, and how can we get to some sort of movement toward peace?
I continue to hope, even though it may seem somewhat in vain at this point, that the two sides in Gaza can come together on some temporary agreement that will permit return of the hostages and more humanitarian relief and a ceasefire, at least temporarily, that will lead to a longer path to peace, including in the north, because Hezbollah says it will cease its conflict if there is a ceasefire in Gaza. So I think the key is Gaza, temporary at least, ceasefire. But Israel has a right to defend itself. It's still under attack from a terrorist organization that has a single mission, one goal, annihilation of Israel and the Jewish people. And so it has to be secure, but at the same time, there needs to be a path to a larger normalizing of relations, which is possible. I visited Saudi Arabia as well as Israel, Jordan, and other countries in the Middle East, and there is a hunger to normalize relations so that there can be peace and stability leading to economic progress, which is the long-range goal.
Right, but Riyadh says two-state solution before we do that. I mean, that's not even close. I mean, we're not even close to that. I mean, it's...
And I have pressed Netanyahu face-to-face when I've met with him on the two-state solution, as well as on the ceasefire. I have been there in bipartisan groups with Lindsey Graham and others on the Republican side and Democrats like Ben Cardin, all of us agreeing that a two-state solution is necessary for relations to be normalized, some kind of self-determination for the Palestinians, but it has to be in a way that's not militarized, does not provide a solution that could lead to another October 7th. You know, the Israelis rightly feel their security is very much in danger right now. Think of it in terms of our having a neighbor on our border like the Hamas, and the war is not against the Palestinians, it's against Hamas, a terrorist organization.
Yeah. Senator, I know you're up really early anyway, but it's not too early for you. But we appreciate the time. We know you're busy, and we look forward to doing it again soon.
Thank you very much for having me. Always delighted to be with you.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. I appreciate it. Senator Richard Blumenthal joining us here on Brian and Company.